I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
But don't ask me what it is, because it's not important, because it was really bad.
I haven't seen him since his fits.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
It's Saturday afternoon on The Fan, which means it's New York Accent with Damon Amendola. He's funny how? Here's D.A.
All right, I would usually say happy Saturday, but really, is it? So glad you're with us here on WFAN, The Fan. D.A., Damon Amendola with you over the next couple of hours. Always cool to follow the legend, Joe B. Thanks for the kind words, Joe. And I think we'll pick up where he left off. We'll take the baton from Mr. Joe Bedingo on what we hope is rock bottom of the New York Mets season. Whew. Boy, does it get any worse than this? I can't imagine so. But with all the confluence of events, and after what we've seen over the last week, it's hard not to expect things to continue to go down the drain for the Mets. And so today, what I want to do is, because Mets fans are obviously at the end of their ropes, and because this might be the turning point of the season, where they were a contender before this last week, and now after it, they are not, I would like to do one last autopsy on the body. I'd like to do one last diagnosis on this guy on life support, the 2023 New York Mets, and ask this question. If you were in charge, if Steve Cohen tapped you on the shoulder and said, look, we're in a bad way, I need advice, give me the game plan, what do we do here? What would be your answer? Because I know that we're all throwing our hands up and saying, how did they let us down again? Another season, big expectations. We're not even into middle of June and already we're punting on the year. Already people are turning the page. Already the summer is over. We just passed Memorial Day. Is there a way to salvage this season? So that's what I am going to dissect with you today. Now, you might call me up and say, no, it's over. This is it. It's done. There is no salvaging this season, which I will listen to. You might say, fire everybody, clean house, which I will listen to. Or you might say, no, you know what? Not yet. Not yet. And here's why, X, Y, and Z. I'm here for all of it, okay? So here's your phone number, 877-337-6666. On Twitter as well. You can hit me up if you got thoughts there at DA on CBS. I'll read through those. And on Instagram, my DMs are open as always at Damon Amendo. From where I sit, it's not over, but it's damn close. And it's damn close because we're not seeing a pulse here over this week. Last night, it was like the moment Lindor made the error, everything just unraveled. And I'm glad Lindor took responsibility. It's nice to hear a star making that much money say, put the loss on me. But we know that's oversimplifying things. But the problem there is the game's not over on that play. There's a lot of baseball to be played, and yet it really did unravel. And so it's like there's this snowball effect where the Mets have been unable to get themselves out from underneath. And now you combine that with the injury to Pete Alonso, and this has to be rock bottom. If they do end up surviving the season and making a run and making at least September interesting, or the summer interesting, then this would be rock bottom. It can't get lower than a 7-game losing streak, another debacle last night in Pittsburgh, and the best hitter in the lineup being out for a month. I don't think it's over, but I think it's damn close. And I think it's damn close because we need to see a mentality from this team that this stuff that is happening, the losing streak, the bullpen blown leads, the starting pitching not going deep enough, errors like Lindor last night, that this is all unacceptable. And that's why I go back to Buck after the Atlanta sweep saying that he was really proud of this team. It was the wrong message. It was the wrong message. Because I think what he's trying to do is take the pressure off of them, but it sends the wrong message that, don't worry, we'll be fine. And I don't know if they're going to be fine. It doesn't feel like this team has the leaders in the clubhouse, the sandpaper, if you will, of veterans and winners to say, no, we're not going to, this is not going to be the season. And I would not fire Buck. I would not. But there would be a handful of things I would do. Here's my hit list. Number one, Buck's message the other day was the wrong one. I think there should be a message from either Buck or Steve Cohen that what is happening now is unacceptable and there will be ramifications. I don't think it helps today in June to just say, we're really proud of the effort. We're really close. You've got the highest payroll in baseball history. You got the highest payroll in 150 years of this game. You can't say in the middle of a seven-game losing streak that I'm really proud of anything. You can't. I mean, unless you're losing on one hitters, you can't really say that. So that was the wrong message by Buck, but I would not fire Buck. But either Buck or Stevie Cohen have to at least say, pick it up, step up, or the season's over, and this is unacceptable. That's the first thing to get people's attention inside the clubhouse and let them know this cannot be tolerated, okay? We are not going to coddle you. We are not going to say, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, we understand. No, uh-uh. Number two, Vientos has got to play in the absence of Pete Alonso. Again, today you just heard Joe B mention this, as Paulie just mentioned what the starting lineup's going to be later on today in Pittsburgh, that he's not in the lineup again. And he has to be. And he has to be for two reasons. Number one, if you're going to lose games anyway, you might as well give him at-bats. You might as well. I mean, if you're removing him from the lineup because you don't trust him in the lineup, what's the difference if you're losing games anyway? The last 7 days, he could have been in the lineup and you still would have lost. What we've seen from Alvarez was he needed X number of at-bats in the bigs to finally come into his own. Now, maybe Vientos not at that level. Maybe. But he still should be in there because you've been given a bit of a grace period. You don't have to shoehorn him in. There's an open spot. He can play first. Give him 3 or 4 at-bats a day for 3 weeks. And if he is a disaster, so be it. You saw it. Okay. At least we have some... we have some semblance of evidence now. We have a sample size, and it'll be every day or close to every day, and he'll be in the starting lineup. And okay, that's a way that you gauge whether a guy can do it or not. Not he's a pinch hitter, he's a role player, he's a platoon guy. This is the perfect spot for him to play every day. That's the first thing that I would do. Number two, they DFA'd Tommy Hunter today. That ain't enough. Okay, if that's the message... that ain't enough. This bullpen is obviously a mess. And part of this is not the Mets' fault. Part of this is the World Baseball Classic's fault. Part of this is the stupid WBC and Edwin Diaz's ACL. Because as we all know, it does not take Bill James to dial up sabermetrics to figure this out. Diaz, being lost for the season, exposed the rest of this bullpen. Now, I don't know if they're in first place with Diaz, but they're not this bad. What has happened is everybody else in the bullpen is now punching above their weight class. And so higher leverage situations and closing opportunities are falling to guys that should not be in those roles. So if you are the Mets, you need to make an addition, I say, for a closer. But you need to do so without mortgaging any of this farm system. Beatty's off limits, Alvarez off limits, the list goes on and on. You're not going to trade good young talent because this season might be lost anyway. But there's two guys in Kansas City who might be closer worthy for this team that would help out in a big way. Now, I don't know what the asking price is going to be. The problem with today's Major League Baseball is there's a lot of buyers, not a lot of sellers. With expanded postseason, a lot of teams feel like they can do it. They can go to October. They can make the postseason instead of being sellers. But in Kansas City, Aroldis Chapman, who I know did not have a pretty end in the Bronx, and Scott Barlow are both potentially available for the Royals. Both guys can step in and help out this bullpen. Now, if they're going to ask for the moon, no, I'm not doing it. But Epler's got to do something to add a bullpen arm, preferably a closer, even if it's an average closer, so that at least everybody slots properly again. You know, because the problem is obvious to identify. Number one, Diaz's injury exposed the bullpen. Number two, the aces stink. And that's the other thing. This season won't go anywhere, and it's not worth, quote-unquote, making a big splash with a trade if Scherzer and Verlander are stinking up the joint like this. Because that's what this season, that's what this pitching staff came down to this year. Now, I'm going to do something that not a lot of people are going to do here on these airwaves, on this radio station at this point in time, because the Mets are so unwatchable right now. That is defend the Mets. This is a rarity, I realize, but I'm going to do so in this way. The reason why Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, a pair of old mercenaries, a pair of over-the-hill gang guys, are who they are counting on, is because, smartly, Steve Cohen has said, I want to model this franchise after the Dodgers, which is, we want to compete every year, not for a short window. Okay, so how do you do that? Well, how you do that is, you can't sell off your pieces in your farm system for one big run at things. That's what the Brewers do. Okay, that's what middle market teams do. You have your entire farm system come up at the same time. You have to time it out well. Then you have to hit and splash and you make your trade. That's what the Royals did in 2014 and 2015. They had all those young guys come up together. And then they said, okay, now we're going to punch. Now we're going to make a move. Dayton Moore, the GM, stepped up and said, this is where we have to close out the roster to make it a championship caliber roster. You have to do that in Kansas City. You have to do that in Cincinnati. You have to do that in Milwaukee. You don't have to do that with the Mets, because the competitive advantage Steve Cohen has over everybody is, I can spend money. The Brewers can't. The Royals can't. I can. So the plan here was, like the Dodgers, we're not selling off our farm system for a run to placate our fans or me right now. We need to build the farm system so that as we get competitive every year, we've got more prospects coming through. I can't trade them and empty out the system. So what do you do early in the gestation period, the evolution of building a winner? You outspend people. And that's what he had to do for Scherzer. That's what he's had to do for Verlander. That's what the Mets have done. Hey, we can cut checks all day long. They were going to do it for Carlos Correa too. We can cut checks. That doesn't hurt us. What hurts us is if we've got to go out there and trade good pieces that would be our starters in 25 and 26 and 27. And so here's where I will defend the Mets. The concept was right. If you want the Mets to be a winner in 26, 27, 28, 29, and I just heard that last caller to Joe B say this, I want them to be in the playoffs every year. So do I. We all want that as Mets fans. We want this team to be a contender year in, year out. It means you can't sell pieces for big splashy trades unless you're absolutely convinced you have a championship team on your hands. And they don't this year. Doesn't seem that way. So unfortunately, and this is going to be a bit dispiriting, is that you've just got to ride it out with these two guys this year. Unfortunately, that's the bit. That this team goes as far as those two old guys take them. And that's just the reality. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality. Because Unless you want to rip it up today, and if you want to call up and say, forget it, season's over, you trade who you can, you get prospects in return, and you punt until 2024, I'll listen to that argument. What I don't think is smart is you've got to try to swing for the fences for a big trade. If you've got to trade away big prospects, you do so. I don't think so. So that's the problem, is that they put their eggs in the basket of those two guys, thinking, well, they're former aces. They're coming off good seasons when we signed them. Verlander last year obviously was excellent. He's got baseball left in that arm. And it has looked like they've both had nothing left in the tank. Or if Scherzer had anything left in the tank, it somehow evaporates by the third or fourth inning. Those two things, Scherzer and Verlander stinking and Edwin Diaz's injury, has exposed this team for the soft underbelly that it had. And one was their fault, the eggs in the basket of those two old guys. One was not, the Diaz injury. But that would be my game plan. Viento starts every day until Alonso gets back. By the time Alonso gets back a month from now, we're past July 4th. We'll kind of know whether there's a season or not. So when he comes back, okay, you make your decision on Vientos. And you try to make a trade in the meantime by not trading a lot of prospects for at least some type of closer that can stabilize the roles in this bullpen. And then you just have to see whether Scherzer and Verlander work, and you got to see whether the lineup can carry. And that's it. And you have to send a message that, no, this is not what we expected. This is not okay, but I would not fire Buck. And the reason is, last year at this point in time, we all thought Buck was the reason that the Mets were winners. We all did. Everybody. Well, I'm not going to fast forward 1 year later and say he's the reason they're losers. It can't be both. He couldn't have been the solution. He couldn't have been the answer for the Mets a year ago and the problem for the Mets the year later. It's possible they're not putting enough control in his hands and it's too much of analytics. That is distinctly possible. I would make a change there as well then. I would say, let's go down with the instincts of Buck Showalter. If this is the way that it's going to go, let's go down with the instincts of what we think is a good manager. But what I don't want to get into is the old Mets where it doesn't work, so freak out, blow it up, fire this guy, and don't have a plan. The plan's got to be, if last year was an indicator that the Mets can be contenders under Buck, this year has to be also weighed that, okay, we're not going to fire him after 2 months of bad baseball. Is there a way to salvage the season, or is it over? I'm looking for your game plans at 877-337-6666. 877-337-6666. I will take a break right now. Rosie's on the other side of the glass. I want to get his take as a big Mets fan here, if this is salvageable, and if so, what's the plan coming up here next, and jump into your phone calls. DA, Damon Amendolara here on The Fan.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com. DA is on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Appreciate you being with us here on The Fan. Damon Amendolara, DA with you. Been a couple of weeks since I was in this slot. Welcomed our first baby, our first child into the family a couple of weeks ago. So little AJ is doing well. We have a little bouncing baby boy in the house, but it's been all good of the hood, not a lot of sleep, which makes this losing streak of the Mets even worse because I actually have plenty of time in the middle of the night to be watching TV as I get ready to feed him, burp him, or change his diapers, and instead I'm watching losing baseball. Not good. Not good. But we are posing the question today, is there a way to salvage this season? 877-337-6666. Rose, the other side of the glass. Okay, what do you think? Do you pull the plug, or is there a way to save this?
No, there's definitely a way to save it. I mean, it's only June, right? And I'm listen, if you follow me on Twitter, at Paul's Random, this, by the way, you can figure out that, like, I'm somewhat of a negative Met fan when it comes to this, but I try to be...
Somewhat. Yeah, somewhat.
I try to be realistic. That's the problem. Listen, the main thing is the players have to just play better. And I've been a caller for you know, maybe a new voice in the room might not be the worst idea in regards to Buck Showalter. That the Proud comment two nights ago was awful. He looked like he didn't want to be there. He looks like he doesn't want to manage anymore. He doesn't look like he's having a good time. I have no idea if he has the pulse of the team anymore, which is crazy because he had it so well last year. So there's so many things that we can get into, but the bottom line is players that play on the field need to perform, and they are not performing right now. That's from
okay, so how much patience do you have then with the guys trying to turn this around?
I mean, this is, I would say, 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. Okay. 2 weeks before the trade deadline, they need to realize, they need to have a good grasp of what their ceiling is. Because if you can, if Epler knows, if Epler's still the GM at that point, if he knows and thinks that this team isn't going anywhere, then you have to start selling off the pieces.
I am more open to firing Epler than I am Buck. But I don't know if you need to do either one. I don't think you need to fire Buck right now. And I don't know if you need to fire Epler either over the course of the next 6 weeks.
Right. And I think most Mets fans think that that Epler's probably going to be gone after this season anyway, and they're going to look to hire David Stearns. I think that's like the popular theory going around. And maybe that does happen. Who knows? But the players just have to play better. Like, Lindor has to play better, right? Like, Marte has to play better. Marte can't have a ball go underneath his glove in right field.
Yep.
Like, that can't happen. And listen, the Alonso injury is a big deal, but let's also keep in mind that Alonso was hitting .229 at this point, I think. He has 53 hits, 22 of them are home runs. I don't want to say he's close to becoming Adam Dunn, because I don't think we're there yet, but Alonso has to do a better job of hitting. He can't just be home run or bust.
I would agree with that. And I would also caution anybody that wants to say the season's over in just remembering that this expanded postseason means you're kind of always in the race. Now, maybe that's a little fool's gold, but even after a set four games under 500, they're only four games out of the wild card. So, I mean, had they just tread water this week and been 500, they would have been in the spot for the final wild card spot. So it doesn't take much. You know, you go on, you win 6 out of 10, and then suddenly, you know, you're two games out of a wild card spot. So I don't think there's reason to rip it up and panic right now. But you're right. The problem here is that almost everybody on the roster is underperforming. And I can't put my finger on why it's all happening this year.
Right.
That everybody is underwater in the first 2 months.
Yeah, no, and that's the problem, right? Something happened. I don't know what it was. Because this team won 101 games last season, and it didn't change. And that's probably one of the problems, is that they didn't add anybody. To the offense, at least. Obviously, Verlander, that's fine. But to the offensive side of the ball, they didn't add anybody. They rolled back the same team. And
did they even need to, though, if they won 100 games last year with mostly the same team?
I was beating the drum at least to add some sort of offensive player. The Correa thing was, listen, that would have been fine. Now, clearly they made the right move with Correa. Look at his stats, and everyone says the ankle is the worst ankle they've ever seen. Right. So clearly that's the right move that Epler and the Mets made. So let's throw that out for a second. They didn't add, the reason they lost in September into the Padres is they had no offense. They couldn't come up with a big hit when it mattered the most.
Right.
They scored 14 runs against the Marlins, against a Triple-A pitcher, but against the Braves in the last series, they couldn't do anything. So I thought they needed to make a few big additions on offense. They didn't do that. You know, they trade J.D. Davis for Darren Ruff or whatever last year. That fell through. You know, that didn't work out well. Vogelback is still on the team, and every time I see Vogelback, I think of, you know, Billy Bean in Moneyball. You know, why is that important? He gets on base. That's why he gets on base. And that's the only thing I think about why they play Vogelback still is because the guy gets on base. It's like Scott Hatterberg.
Right. Right. Wow, he draws walks.
He draws walks. That's the reason.
Can't find anybody else that draws walks. He's the only guy on earth that can draw a walk.
It's awful. It's awful. And you had mentioned briefly the Edwin Diaz injury. And listen, that's not the Mets' fault. That's baseball, right? But there is a way you can say, you know what? The Mets could have just put the kibosh on him for going. Like, they could have just said, hey.
Yes, I didn't want to see any of the Mets play in that.
Right, absolutely neither did. Right. Like, there's a reason why the biggest Yankee that played in the World Baseball Classic was Gleyber Torres. It wasn't Gerrit Cole. It wasn't Aaron Judge. It wasn't Giancarlo Stanton. There's a reason it was Gleyber Torres.
That's fair.
So I don't know how you tell those guys, hey, don't do this, if they really want to do it. I don't know how that would go, but they could have said, Edwin, we have a chance to win the World Series. We don't want to risk it. Can we just stay home? Can you just stay in Port St. Lucie, please? Do we need to do this?
Yep. The problem is that if you grew up anywhere besides the U.S., the World Baseball Classic is massively important for guys like Edwin Diaz. If you grew up here in the States, it doesn't really matter. And so we don't get it because as people that grew up in the U.S., we're like, who cares? But for Diaz and the rest of those guys, you probably have hell to pay if you're telling the guys that really, really care about playing in it, you're not allowed to play. But that's fair. It's fair that the Mets allowed it to happen. And look, worst case scenario.